Our New Testament reading comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning with verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of services, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On July 24th, 2011, I was about three quarters of my way through a summer internship in the winter of South Africa, serving a church in Cape Town. There are similarities between Morningside Presbyterian and Durbanville Presbyterian. In both congregations, many, though not all, of the parishioners live near the church. In both congregations, affinity groups gather in someone's home to grow and learn together in fellowship and over the breaking of bread. And I will never forget leading a Bible study in a living room that was completely dominated by an enormous Jackson Pollock original. That's Cape Town for you. And both congregations are committed to embodying God's love through mission outreach. Now, compared to similarities like that, the differences hardly matter, but one of them has been on my mind lately, which is central heat. They don't have that. If it is 40 degrees in the parking lot, it is 40 degrees in the pews. Still, there was a font and a table, a cross, a Bible, and the gathered people, and so worship felt familiar enough. But on July 24th, that was cold comfort, because that was Ethan's 17th birthday, and I was on the wrong side of an ocean. He and Malcolm and Clark had all been out to visit for about a month, but they'd left the week before. And so I sat there at my desk that day, knowing that my son was having his birthday on a different continent. A parishioner who was working at the church that day came into my office and said, "My spiritual gift is encouragement. May I offer a word?" And I don't know what in particular she said, nothing in particular. But the fact that she said it did provide encouragement. That was the first time I ever heard spiritual gift spoken of and demonstrated so specifically, which did absolutely nothing to prepare me for the next Sunday. There I was preaching when there was this brief, bright eruption of sound from over there. So I paused in my sermon, but nothing happened. No one called for help, and so I went on. And when I finished and I sat down, and then we went into a hymn, during which someone from over there went down the aisle, across the back, up the other aisle, and handed a slip of paper to Peter, my supervising pastor. When the hymn ended, instead of us moving straight into whatever was slated to go next, Peter moved to the head of the center aisle, and he read this slip of paper. "Love, the Spirit, in this place." Then he folded the paper, smiled, and everyone except me said, "Alleluia," or "Amen." We moved on into communion, and then the rest of the service, And then I gave the benediction and we adjourned to our fellowship time. So it was the next day when I could ask Peter, what was with the little piece of paper? And he said, oh, that was the interpretation. And I said, of what? And he looked at me very carefully and he said, Elizabeth spoke in tongues and Isaac brought me the interpretation. I had absolutely no sense of how to respond. The words that tumbled out of my mouth were, and you read it. And Peter, because he is lovely, picked up the Bible, flipped to the New Testament, and found the passage we just heard. And then with his finger tracing verse 7, he read aloud, to each is given the manifestation of spirit for the common good. Then he added, if Isaac had not interpreted, and if I had not read it aloud, how could it have been for the common good? And then he transcended his particular congregation and said, the people of South Africa have been given an opportunity to show forth the kingdom of Almighty God. Peter talks like that. For us to rise above apartheid, we must obey God's call to do everything for the common good. To fail that is to fail our Lord. The Apostle Paul had a similar message for the church in Corinth. Corinth was a bustling city of ethnic and economic diversity, and the church Paul founded there reflected this diversity. The unity that Paul emphasized as key to faithful living, a unity that expresses God's love for all, a unity that furthers Jesus' personal mission of welcoming everybody, a unity that acknowledges all gifts bestowed and activated by the Holy Spirit. That unity in diversity was Paul's theme song. This is from his letter to the Galatians. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. From his letter to the Romans. For as in one body we have many members and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And from the opening of this letter to the Corinthians, now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you be in agreement and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same purpose. You see, these Corinthians are trying Paul's patience and diminishing Christ's church through all the ways they are coming up with to threaten the holy ideal of unity in diversity. Just in this one letter, poor Paul has to address competing allegiances to favorite teachers, divergent ideas about morality, conflicting approaches to pagan rituals. He has to scold the wealthy for not adequately welcoming the less affluent to the table of fellowship. But the biggest divisive issue of all, believe it or not, is the practice of speaking in tongues. Apparently, some Corinthians felt that to speak with the tongues of angels showed you were the most spiritual of all. At a former church, a parishioner gave me a fridge magnet that reads, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite. And that is basically the attitude that Paul is calling out here. Now, Paul is not opposed to speaking in tongues. In fact, there's evidence that he himself participated in that phenomenon. What he's stressing is that there is no hierarchy in giftedness. One God-given gift is not better than another, and Paul also emphasizes that if you do speak in tongues, you had better have somebody handy who can interpret your ecstatic speech. Otherwise, as my colleague Peter observed, how could it be for the common good? Now, just in case these things we don't normally see as gifts things like encouragement, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation thereof. Just in case all of that is just a little too out there for you to relate to, let's consider gifts we more readily recognize. If you scan today's bulletin, you'll notice that this morning's worship service includes three pieces of music written or arranged by our own Jonathan Crutchfield. And you may have noticed that our processional hymn is the work of our own Michael Morgan. Now, because we are a culture that's comfortable with music and may especially value it in church, it isn't difficult to see musical gifts as manifestations of the Spirit. And we have no problem asserting that they are being used for the common good, because Jonathan doesn't merely hum these tunes in the shower, and Michael doesn't just play with words to keep himself awake on his commute from Fairburn, but they publicly share their music to God's glory. But let me not lead us away from Paul's point. The apostle is focused not on the gifts themselves, but rather on the giver and on the giver's purpose for the gifts. Who is the giver? God, of course. And God's purpose in giving the gifts? That each may be a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul is insisting that the common good matters because it is the purpose of the gifts God gives. And I'm glad that the common good is so important to God, because I've gotten pretty worried about it. Immersed in modern life, even we Christians seem to have lost track of the fact that the common good is a high biblical value. Throughout his writing, Paul warns against schisma or schisms. He deplores divisions within the body of Christ. Yet every day, we today are tempted to join the divisive voices that seek to pull people apart, to chop the population into fractious factions, to deny the common good of God's children. So here I want to be sure we get a big enough understanding of common good. As my colleague Peter recognized, the common good is not as small as a single congregation. In fact, Paul's church in Corinth was probably not a single assembly of folks, but rather a collection of little house churches that would sometimes gather with one another. So I want us to transcend our own personal gifts and consider how Morningside is a gift from God, and how we can be a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good within and beyond our walls. There is, of course, what we do. This week's thank you note from the principal at Dobbs Elementary School, thrilled about everything accomplished on our intergenerational MLK service day. That is evidence of how Morningside's actions serve the greater good, the common good. As was a thank you note from the family of Dale Glendenning, so grateful for your care during their shock and grief. What we do can definitely be for the common good. But I'm also interested in what we are. When you sit in a pew with someone who votes differently than you do, I believe that together, y'all are a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Together, y'all are living proof of God's lively inclusivity. So I pray we all seek to preserve, strengthen, expand that gift, the gift that Morningside makes room for variety. Knowing that we don't all vote the same way, and I'm using that phrase as shorthand for think the same way, prioritize the same way, the fact that we are diversity does not make our shared life simple or easy or always comfortable. But church, It is what the world is yearning for. It is what the world needs and what God calls us to. So when I think of y'all sitting in a pew with someone who votes differently than you do, it gives me the gift of encouragement. It encourages me to risk a little more openness to different perspectives, not in order to be convinced or converted, but to be reminded that God is bigger than my own little opinionated self. Y'all encourage me to dare a little more hope that we are not doomed to schism among sisters and brothers in Christ. Y'all, in your diversity, encourage me in my prayer for unity. Thank you. And thanks be to God, great giver of all good gifts. And all the people say, Amen.